Beauty Readies, and welcome back to the Re-Anime Podcast, your one-stop pod for all your anime reviews, reactions, and recommendations. As always, I'm your host, Fate Steel Taylor, and my oh my, it is looking really nice outside these days. Really does feel like spring is just around the corner, but before we can get to that season, we need to finish off winter. And the best way to do that is by starting off with everyone's favorite lead-off discussion topic, Tales from the No Drop Zone. So like I said, we're entering the last couple of weeks of the winter season, so we still have a couple more shows to go. And the first one I want to talk about is Musaigen no Phantom World, or Myriad Colors Phantom World, by Kyoto Animation. Now, if you've listened to the podcast at all, if you know me at all, you know I really like Kyoto Animation's work. I'm a huge fan of their themes, their character designs, their emphasis on music and visuals, and even down to the people who work there and their business model. Many of my favorites, including Kyoka, Hibike Euphonium, K-On!, not to mention Tamako Market and Tamako Love Story, and the like, are from that studio. So I came into this show with, I guess, relatively high expectations. Normally I try to go into airing shows with very low expectations so that they can not disappoint me as much as they oftentimes have. But I guess I let the show get the better of me. The show is definitely not up to par with some of Kyoani's other works, especially coming off such a strong 2015 year with Hibike Euphonium, Kyokai no Kanata Mirai Hen, I'll Be Here, the sequel film to the 2013 TV series, and Free Starting Days. And I mean, the signs were there that this would be pretty good. It was helmed by the famous Ishihara Tatsuya, who also directed Chu Tukoi, Amagami Brilliant Park, and of course the key visual novel adaptations like Air, Kanon, and Clannad, Nichijou, and the Harui series, a movie. Yet what always made Kyoani so great was its fantastic group of episode directors and how you could almost feel the love emanating from each frame, from each episode, and that just isn't there anymore. As for the actual show, Phantom World follows a boy named, I think it's Haruhiko Ichijo or something. I honestly can't remember without looking it up because he's so generic, who has some like sort of power thing while attending high school. So yeah, the plot is just that of a generic battle high school harem Ellen adaptation. Kyoani's trying to salvage it, but it's not quite deep enough to be taken seriously, and it's not taking itself lightly enough to be humorous on the scale of, say, Amagi Brilliant Park. What's interesting here is that while I'm watching this show, my main train of thought tends to be, well, at least it's not as bad as it could be. Yes, there's fan service galore, but it really could be worse. I mean, it's nothing totally explicit. On the other hand, of course, it could be much better. As always, the main girls really make this show bearable, and Kyoani does their typical thing of bringing back voice actors who worked on their previous anime. So Kawakami Mai, a second-year senpai who fights off spirits with her fists and uses the elemental powers, Des, is voiced by Uesaki Sumire, aka Dekamori from Chutukoi, Des. And she does a pretty good job, Des. I don't think there's much depth to her yet, Des. But it's fun, and she has some pretty good moments, Des. Izumi Reina is a solid character as well, a girl who inhales pretty much anything and everything, which includes both food and spirits. She's voiced by Hayami Saori, who's voicing Shira Yukihime in Akagami no Shira Yukihime this season, and has also voiced Ikaros in Sora no Otoshimono, Sachi in Sword Art Online, Yukino in Origairu, and her Kyoani ties are mostly bit parts, Haruka Senpai in Hibike Euphonium, and Jumonji in Hyoka, you know, the girl working at the shrine. The best girl for me, and I think for a vast majority of people, is the Kudere, known as Minase Koito, a too-cool-for-you kind of girl who rocks some pretty awesome headphones. She sings at spirits to weaken them, or something. I don't know. She voiced Rika in Chutukoi, which makes this voice experience very weird, as she's probably the least chuny character in a world full of chuny characters. The teacher, Himeno Arisu, is voiced by Inoue Kikuko, and her Kyoani ties include playing Uraha in Air, Nanase Sensei in Chutukoi, Sane in Clannad, note, don't make any fun of her bread, and Mickey in Lucky Star. And yes, even Haruhiko voiced the former Kyoani character, the prince in Tamako Market. Outside of the voice acting, the animation and art look fantastic as always. The camera work is on point. So this has all the bearings of a Kyoani classic, right? Well, it has all of that, but without the substance or semblance of a plot or really anything that's worth investing into for the show. And so Musaigen no Phantom World is living up to its current nickname of Musaigen no Sales. I don't see any way it can recoup itself towards the end, but with the way Kyoani has been on a roll, with Koe no Katachi and Hibike Euphonia Season 2 to come, maybe this was just a throwaway. So while it is enjoyable, it's sad because it definitely could have been better. And that's how I think I'll remember the show by. Moving on, we have Oji-san to Marshmallow, or Oji-san and Marshmallow, by Creators and Pack, you know, the studio who brought us the likes of Hakadol the Animation, as well as Danchigai. It's a very cute show centered around a man named Hige-san with a mustache and Wakabayashi. Now, Hige-san is just so addicted to marshmallows that he can't help himself, but he does try to retain his dignity around them, and yet he's so affixed to these marshmallows that he can't see that his female co-workers are charmed by him. It's a lot of fun. There are some great hijinks. I especially like how Hige-san is so dense and oblivious, and Wakabayashi is so aggressive in her acts of attraction. The three main voice actors are very accomplished and help elevate the show among the ranks of shorts. Not to mention, the other girl rivaling for Hige-san's affection is voiced by none other than Hanazawa Kana. So if you have 3 minutes a week or need something happy and cheerful to help recover from a race on Thursdays, this is definitely your show. And there's even a cool kind of live action segment at the end of each episode that ranges anywhere between, say, 5 to 15 seconds of the voice actors in the show demonstrating some recipes regarding marshmallows. The next anime on this list is another short called Oya-san wa Shinsuki, or My Landlords in Middle School. It's by Studio 7 Arcs, and it's produced by Genko, who also recently did Komori-san wa Kotobara Nai. As the title suggests, it revolves around a girl named Chie, who is a middle schooler and also a landlord of an apartment complex. Her tenants include Maeda, who seems to be a teenage or a young adult dude, and Reiko, who's a female tenant around the same age as well. It's super cloyingly sweet, and with each episode running at just 2 minutes long, it's rather short. It's a great way to start the week on Sunday afternoons, and Chie is absolutely adorable. I love the animation, and it actually comes off really nicely. For example, one of the episodes was actually animated by a single person, and you can tell the amount of love and care that goes into it because everyone seems so happy, and it's such a feel-good slice of life. The antics are hilarious, especially surrounding Chie, from her struggles with having a plain bento box to starting up a cooking club. And it also features some cameos from Komori-san wa Kotobara Nai, so keep your eyes on the lookout. The OP is fantastic, it has an interesting use of visuals, and it's just a lot of fun. I definitely recommend it, especially with its rapid high pace. It's not quite TQ in that sense. What is TQ anyway? That's a question to be answered next week. But yeah, I would definitely recommend it, and I'm really enjoying it. The third O short anime of the season that I'm watching is Oshiete Gakko-chan by Studio Feel. So this anime is a girls talk anime, as the title translates to roughly, "Please tell me, Gakko-chan," and it covers everything that girls, well, talk about. It's definitely different from the way these subject matters are usually brought up, if they're ever brought up, or glossed over in other anime, and it brought up a lot of things that I had zero ideas about, which I won't mention on the account of 1, spoilers, and 2, embarrassment, I guess. So this show was based off a digital manga, but its episodic nature really translates well as a short. Each episode is only 7 minutes long, and it covers a wide variety of topics each week. Though there are, I guess, fan servicey moments each time, I don't really think it's supposed to be taken as fan service, though I could be totally off base. Rather, it seems like a way for an honest talk about girls and their bodies and the questions they have that they might otherwise be embarrassed to talk about. It's directed by Kawaguchi Keiichiro, who also directed Sket Dance, Zettai Karin Children, and a host of Transformers anime. So yes, this anime does have more than meets the eye. Most of the voice ensemble is relatively new, though one of the girls, Ojo, is voiced by Takahashi Minami, who is also the voice behind Megumi and Shokugeki no Soma. I definitely recommend this to any of my female listeners out there, or people who are just curious to things that they never knew existed, because I definitely had no idea about some of these questions, nor did the thought ever cross my mind. It's fun, it's surprisingly informative, and I would recommend it to most people. Now, the final show I want to talk about this week is Prince of Stride Alternative by Studio Madhouse. So you already know where this is going to be going in terms of adaptation and animation and visuals. So originally, Prince of Stride was a novel series that was turned into a Tomei game. First off, I want to talk about the colors because wow, are they beautiful. It's not surprising since the anime is done by Ishizuka Atsuko, who also directed Sakura So no Pet na Kanojo and No Game No Life. Her trademark yellows and pinks and blues are all over the place and they look phenomenal. And it's great because the direction is, of course, very well done. And that's very important considering the world and the premise. So Prince of Stride centers around this idea of stride, which is a combination of relay races and parkour. It's really interesting, and for a running anime like this, you really need to be able to get the feel down for how movement works. It's not like, say, Ace of Diamond, where you can cut to still scenes with speed lines. You really want to be able to feel them running, feel the connecting spirits, which is a big theme of the show. And so it feels very alive, and for someone who hasn't done sports anime before, it's very impressive. Then again, as with a lot of sports anime, which we discussed on last week's topic, it's not really so much about the sport, so much as the characters. Now, with the storyline, I'd say it's not very engrossing. It's very cliche. I wouldn't say I'm at all impressed by it, and it's very predictable. But at the same time, I think it's the character interactions that really make this pay off. Now, the characters themselves may be stereotypes and easily self-insert. After all, you have to think about where the adaptation came from. I'm catering mostly to women, and then, of course, there are a lot of bros being bros, guys being guys moments between teammates. But I do think their character interactions come off as super authentic and enjoyable and hype. The main duo of Yagami and Fujiwara are great, especially considering how different they are personality-wise, yet how committed they are to the sport of stride and how athletic they are. The rest of the teammates are super cool too. It's a lot of fun. It never bogs down in drama too much. And there's always a lot of undercurrent humor to liven the mood up, which kind of needs to happen when your color scheme is so bright and happy. The headliners as far as vocal talent go are Ono Daisuke, voicing the captain of the club, Hanazawa Kano making yet another appearance this season, not the last, as the quote-unquote relayer for the stride club, so she's basically responsible for connecting the spirits and emotions and feelings of the runners as they embark on their race. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of really hype moments. It doesn't even really feel like a sport anime a lot of the time, and I think it's another job well done by the entity known as Madhouse, and I definitely recommend it to everyone there, and especially to those of the Fujoshi kind. You know who you are. And with that, I'd like to bid you adieu for a bit, and when we come back from this break, I'll be joined by DarthNick426 as we endeavor to discover whether or not it is wrong to pick up guests from the internet, so stay tuned. And welcome back, everyone. And on this week on Is It Wrong to Pick Up Guests from the Internet, I have best bro DarthNick426 on the show. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, my fellow Saber bro. What's up?
You know, I'm having a pretty good time. I'm talking with you, talking about how great Saber is, of course. Mm-hmm. And we also share a love for generic long-running shonens, which I think get a really bad rap for all the popularity they have.
Freaking the hate on Bleach in particular is very apparent on our anime. I mean, it does warrant some hate, but Jesus Christ, people, calm down. It's not that bad.
Let's get right into the failing of most long-running shonens, filler arcs.
Oh, God. Yeah, filler arc is definitely a huge, like, shot in the foot to Bleach and Naruto in particular.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad because on one hand, they're trying to be as faithful as possible to the source material by letting the authors and the artists have enough time to catch up, and so they don't have to worry about, oh, like, we got to push out the pace because the anime is going to go past us.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you're giving people such an inferior product throughout that time.
Like, for, again, Bleach in particular, it's just like, some of the filler arcs is just like, oh my god. Like, literally when they did them, it's just the way Kubo writes the manga, it's just the way he writes all of his chapters. He doesn't write them like chapter to chapter. He like thinks of them as like a volume as a whole. So some of the chapters can be short as hell, where it's just like literally like two people talk and there's just like a couple panels of people fighting or like doing flash step. And then because of that, like the anime would catch up really quickly. And then they're just like, well, they're like, we have to go to a filler arc so, you know, he can get back ahead. The main problem with Bleach in that, it would happen in like the very middle of like, say, the Hueco Mundo arc. Where they're, I think I brought this up on the last podcast I was on, now that I think about it.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, they're like right in the middle. Then all of a sudden it's just like, filler time, we're going to high school. Ichigo's like, what the f***? We're going to high school, yeah. Shut up. but Grimmjow. No, we're fighting random ninjas now. What?
And it's so sad too, because, and I think the reason why long-running shonen are so beloved is because they can have some really amazing arcs. I mean, I think the first arc of Naruto, the escort arc, and the last one before Shippuden, the rescue arc, are two of the best arcs I've ever read, watched. Like, those are absolutely fantastic. The fights are amazing. The dialogue is great. The character development. I mean, Bleach, there were a lot of many arcs in between. But for like 426 chapters, there were really only two arcs. The Soul Society arc and the Arrancar arc. And those were absolutely amazing, especially Soul Society and maybe even Arrancar.
Soul Society, I'd honestly say, is probably one of my favorite, just, it's one of like the strongest, like, early shonen arcs I've ever seen in an anime, period. Like, Soul Society did a lot of shit right.
Knew exactly what he wanted to do for those first 200-some chapters, and you could see how much thought he put into it, and that's what made it so amazing. And then I think his writing got a lot better in Arrancar, because that's when you had so much character development happening, not just for Ichigo, but for all the supporting characters, and you learned so much about their backstories in the past, particularly with Rukia. I mean, that one fight scene is so iconic. Even though I hate, and a lot of people hate Orihime, the goodbye Halcyon Day scene is maybe the most touching in Bleach.
Yes, this is a very, very well-written and touching scene. I will give it that, even though I kind of want Orihime to get her head bashed in. I mean, what?
The thing is, the great thing about long-running shonen is you get to see these guys from the very beginning. Like, when they're powerless, when they have nothing, when they're basically kids. And as they're learning about the world and as they're growing, you're doing the same. And I think the strongest thing about Bleach, about Naruto, about One Piece, the big three of Shonen Jump, of course, is that the main characters weren't self-insert MCs. Like, maybe you can see qualities in Naruto that you see in yourself, like being alone or being an outsider. Maybe you could see some things with Ichigo, like how he's lost about his identity and has all these regrets about his family and his past. Maybe with Luffy, where you just want to explore the world. But even though all three of them follow many of the same tropes, they're all distinctly their own character.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's those aspects that people can connect with. But again, it's not just like a blatant attempt. It's just like, oh, yeah, I mean, they're in high school. And, oh, look, a cultural festival. I mean, you know, Bleach does have a high school, but it's just like, they're barely ever there. It's just like, if there's a high school scene, it's just like, oh, hey, there's a lesson. Wait, no, there's a hollow. Back to the real story.
And with Naruto, I mean, they're in school for what, the first 10 chapters?
Yeah, it's not even a real school. It's fucking ninja school, so it's like, you know.
The part I love about these long-running shonen is, I think recently what we've seen, especially with light novel adaptations, are main characters who have to carry the entire show by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Before Shippuden, for Naruto, all those supporting characters were giving so much depth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sakura gets a lot of flack for her actions post-Shippuden.
Yeah.
But before that, I was like, she was written really well. Sasuke, his past and his actions are so well explained pre-Shippuden. And he's so complex and there's so much depth to him.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Itachi, Uchiha. His older brother, same with Rock Lee. I mean, Rock Lee's arc is fantastic. Gaara is fantastic. All these supporting characters bring so much life into these arcs.
Yeah, I'd say, in long-running shonen shows, it's definitely, the ensemble cast. I mean, it's like, the main characters can be good, but like you said, they don't need them to carry the entire show, because a lot of the time, it's like, if I look, people's favorite characters are usually the side characters. Like, for me personally, I mean, I love Naruto and Ichigo, but they're not my favorite characters. Kakashi's my favorite character in Naruto. Like, his entire story, I think, is one of the best. I'm just like, holy crap. And then with Bleach, it's just like, my favorite character is like Rukia's older brother, Byakuya. I'm just like, this guy.
I have to agree. I think Kakashi is my favorite character from Naruto. And even post-Shippuden, he had a lot of great moments. Mm-hmm. His backstory that bridged pre-Shippuden and post-Shippuden in the manga, that, what is it, like three-chapter series about his own past was absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. And I think in Bleach, I think Rukia is probably my favorite.
Yeah,
especially because of that fight in Hueco-Mundo.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about how another problem with long-running shonen is they have amazing arcs, but they don't seem to know how to finish them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if Naruto ended pre-Shippuden, nobody has any complaints.
Yeah.
If Bleach ends on chapter 426, you know what I'm talking about. That goes down as it's already an amazing, a really popular manga, but it goes down as an amazing one.
Mm-hmm. That is a very solid ending. I mean, I'm probably one of those people who, I get, again, with where the manga is right now, it's like, I get people who have complaints with it. And it's just like, if it had ended there, that would have been a perfect ending. Would have been a bittersweet ending, but a great ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm kind of glad it kept going just because there were questions that weren't answered. But if it had ended there, that would have been perfect. Yeah, the ending of Bleach, the Bleach anime was not... it was in tatters. It didn't get wrapped up well.
And I guess one day we'll get the Naruto ending. I assume one day we'll get a Naruto ending.
I'm sincerely doubting it at this point. Although I'm not too surprised at this, just because with the original Naruto anime into Shippuden, wasn't there like 200 episodes before they finally started Shippuden of filler? It's like, Jesus Christ. Guys, Periot, stop.
It was an absolute mess. But, I mean, for every two or three shows that have a terrible ending, and despite being long run in shonen, I think Hunter x Hunter 2011 had a fantastic way to cap off its ending, and it did what Naruto and Bleach didn't. Mostly because, you know, they didn't have enough source material to actually end it. But it had, I felt, like a really great resolution of an ending, as did Yu Yu Hakusho, and they were both, of course, done by Togashi.
Yes, I completely agree. Hunter x Hunter, although, again, hiatus, ex-hiatus. Where it did end up ending, as far as the anime went, perfect ending. Like, still, it's like how if Bleach had ended at that one chapter we were talking about, there's still questions with where Hunter x Hunter ended, but it's like, if those aren't answered, it's okay, just because it ended perfectly. It's like, a lot of the stuff they set out to do got accomplished, and it's just like, I'm satisfied. It's just, they did a good job with Hunter x Hunter. Same with Yu Yu Hakusho.
And I think... definitely. And I think if Naruto pre-Shippuden, it goes a certain way, that's able to wrap it up really well and tell the story of a boy growing up, making friends, making a family, and protecting that family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the story gets a little lost from there. But, you know, for all the demerits that people like to bring up for long-running shonen, they're long-running for a reason. People love them.
Yeah.
People love these action-filled, character-driven manga series, anime series. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of sad, because like, I feel like, what other anime manga are there that's at all similar to the big three? Yes, One Piece is still going on really strong. And I guess the One Piece knockoff Fairy Tail is still out there. But there hasn't been any new blood.
I will say, there is one up-and-comer who may be our next Bleach and, you know, whatever, Naruto.
Does it revolve around a school?
Yes, yes, it does.
Does it revolve around heroes?
Yes, yes, it does.
Does, And does it revolve around a personal pronoun to start?
Maybe. In My Hero Academia, man. Get hype.
So I caught up to, I think, around chapter 50 of the manga. And I will say it has a lot of hype points. Mm-hmm. It's definitely different from the Naruto Bleach One Piece mold. Mm-hmm. But I think in a good way, too. Mm-hmm. You bring up a great point, and I'm really looking forward to where My Hero Academia goes. And I hope, you know, it can be another long-running shonen, because maybe we're a little too old for that now, possibly. But for when I was 10, 11 years old, younger than that, slightly older than that, there was nothing better than coming from home from school, turning on Toonami, and week to week, there was a new episode. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, a new episode of Dragon Ball Z? Yes. New episode of Naruto? All right. Bleach? Yeah. One Piece? Oh, yeah, that's good, too. Not to hate on One Piece, I just haven't watched it. Little disclaimer there. Hold the pitchforks.
Even Inuyasha, which you also
love. Yeah, Inuyasha. Although, I will say, again, with how Bleach ended, I mean, I don't know if the anime is ever going to come back, but I could see it possibly with how Inuyasha got wrapped up. Have you ever heard about how that got wrapped up with the anime?
No, okay. No.
What happened was, it was, again, long-running shonen, had an anime going along with it, and then I think, again, it was a case of the ratings were starting to go down, so they ended up actually ending the anime before the source material was finished. So then, a couple years later, they actually came back and, like, brought the anime back and call it Inuyasha the Final Act, and they, like, finally animated the last, like, say, 26 or so episodes that was left of the source material and actually finished it off and gave it, you know, its canon ending. And it was just like, all right. So we'll see if Bleach gets that treatment someday.
Hopefully Shaman King gets that one day. I mean, they even brought back Kanzen Bang with the manga, but that's not looking like me because Kanzen Bang was so bad.
No.
Did you read, watch Shaman King?
Oh, Shaman King. I've heard a lot about it, but I've heard, again, that whole thing you just mentioned, how that whole storm, but...
Last comment. Shaman King was really interesting because it literally ended in the middle of a fight for its first run. Like, they're fighting, and all of a sudden, the mangaka says, like, okay, I'm stepping away from this manga, and I'm ending it. And then, like, 10 years later, he comes back, and he gives us the last, I don't know, 30 what would be the equivalent of 30 chapters. And like after a decade, I'm like, wow, I don't remember what happened. And then it turns out neither did he.
Oh, God. That's terrible. Oh, no. Let's hope Hunter x Hunter doesn't get that treatment like ever if it comes out of hiatus. Togashi, please.
All right, man. Well, I unfortunately, our conversation can't go any further than this, but I definitely want you to come back, and hopefully that won't be a final act.
Yay! Wait, what? Are you cutting me off? What? No!
A producer. Wait, I am the producer.
Jesus. Cue someone taking my mic away.
All right, thanks so much for your time, Darth Nick.
Yeah, no problem, man. Glad to be here.
Thank you again to Darth Nick for coming on to the show. It's now time for the Nichijou News, the part of the show where I briefly react to the latest happenings in the anime world. Are you ready? I hope you're hanging on to your fourth walls because Gintama's reign and breaking them is going to come to an end soon. The current anime season of Gintama is probably set to end this month before taking a hiatus, most likely in order to let the manga gain some breathing room as it endeavors towards its final act. To fans of this franchise, the news might seem pretty, well, grim, but no worries, I'm sure you'll still have 8 out of the 10 spots on MAL as consolation. Boku no Hero Academia is set to stream on Funimation, which we should have seen coming from a mile away with what Bones and Funi's documented partnership. It'll be interesting to see how the subtitles go as far as localization is concerned, but I don't doubt for a second that it'll be getting a simuldub. It might even get picked up for a run on Toonami. There's a lot of elements to this that'll really appeal to Western audiences. And finally, there's speculation that the Irregular at Magic High School, aka Mahoka, will be getting a second season from Madhouse as a teaser was sent out about a big announcement. No word yet on whether or not this rumor is remotely true, but I'm sure there are many out there who would love to hear more about the mighty One True Tatsuya and the glories of Oni-sama. To round out the week, we have the Blu-ray rankings for February 29th to March 6th. First is Osomatsu-san, second volume, which sold 4,487 copies in its second week to push it to 30,000 volumes sold. Holy wow, that is insane. Second is the limited edition of Digimon Adventure 2's 15th anniversary Blu-ray box, selling 3,171 copies ahead of the release for Digimon Try 2, because you can never have enough numbers in your title. Third is The Boy and the Beast Standard Edition at 2,145 copies sold in its second week to push it to 12,000 volumes sold total, a solid showing for a Hosoda Mamoru film. Fourth is Idolmaster Cinderella Girls Volume 9, which in its second week sold 1,662 copies. And to round out the week, Data Live Mairi's Judgment Limited Edition sold 1,411 copies in its second week, just a few hundred short of a combined 10k mark. And that's it for this week on your Nichijou News. Now this week on Word Fart Online, I just want to say that thank you to everyone who told me to watch Haikyuu, because it's fantastic, especially EMP, Amethyst, and Alex. Oh my goodness, it is super hype and amazing and fun, and that was just the first season. I can't wait to get on to the second season, and if you haven't watched it and you've heard about it and you were on the fence, I definitely recommend it. If you're watching any non-airing anime, let me know. Drop a line at fatesealtail@gmail.com. Let's start a conversation going. Thank you again for listening in this week and every other week. If you want the episodes as fast as possible, you can always subscribe on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher. And if you really, really like the show, you can always leave a review on one of those platforms. I would really appreciate it. So until next time, see you, beauty buddies. And all that stuff. But here, it's more like, you know, technology. They believe in the generic shonen who believe in you.
Oh, jeez.
Believe it.
Oh, God.
Believe it. I'm going to be Hokage.
Naruto, calm down.
Still, my favorite screen cap is the one where, like, Naruto is, like, looking dejected, and he's like, even I can't believe it.
I do love that. Oh, God.